Welcome to Cannabis Talk A to Z, an educational odyssey with your host, Frankie Boyer.
And welcome. It is Frankie Boyer. And I had the most fabulous time at the huge cannabis show in Vegas. And I got to meet, and there's a picture of us. I believe Stephen may have posted it on Facebook. She's the one with the very tall, gorgeous mane of hair, Thunder Walker. And Thunder Walker is with us today. Thunder, did you have a good time at MJ Biz?
Frankie, I had a perfect time at MJ Biz. It was awesome. It was just being in Wonderland with cannabis and hemp. It was perfect. Absolutely perfect.
Yes. It was bigger than I was expecting. I have to say, it was a huge, huge show. How did you get into this industry and become such a trailblazer? And we have to tell everybody, a troublemaker. Go ahead.
Yes. So I'm a legacy operator where I have over 7+ years experience in the legacy market, and switched that over into a dispensary, into a grow, and into a processing license through Oklahoma. And I'm amazed by how the industry is just jet setting into the future and all the things that it's able to do. So I got into the industry based off of health-related items, just like other people talk about having loved ones with different illnesses. My father had cancer. My daughter is disabled. She has autism, and she is nonverbal. Both, instances, the plant has worked. And so yes. I fell in love with the plant. And so I just never looked back.
Why is it so hard for people to understand the power of this plant? Let's talk about the stigmas.
Well, first of all, it's a female, right? And the plant is a female. And so I'm not shocked that people think that she's misunderstood and all these different things. I'm not shocked that she's stigmatized. Her name is Mary, and I just love her. Really, to be honest with you, I think it is a lapse of knowledge and education that has plagued our communities throughout history to understand this plant that grows out of the ground. It is such a beautiful plant. It has so many different remedies that it can help you with. It's great for building. You can. It's one of the strongest fibers to build a home or a building supplies. It also is great for just basically making clothing. There's so many different things you can do with this plant. And it's stigmatized because one of the things is it's cheaper to do 90% of the things that it's capable of doing versus the stuff that's not, that's manufactured. You know what I mean? This is something that's natural, it's holistic. And I think that greed has made this plant have the stigma that it has. And that's where it is. So now that we are going back and reintroducing the plant, because the plant has been around for so long, we're reintroducing the plant into the communities and getting a whole understanding of educating people about what it's capable of doing, you're going to see this plant soar. And so if you're not on this green wagon yet, if you're not on the green brick road instead of the yellow brick road, you really need to take a look at this plant and educate yourself. You don't have to necessarily get into the industry, but understand what this plant is capable of doing and know that it's able to solve some of our problems that we have as human beings. Education is the key.
Education is the key. As a woman of color, there were many suits, white male suits at the expo, but it was lovely to see so many diverse other people at the conference, and I was so thrilled to see that. give us your take on how to expand diversification in this industry.
Really, to be honest with you, this plant is for everyone, and sometimes we have to get out of our own way. So to diversify is to, once again, educate our community, start the process in so many ways. First of all, you have the political process. Advocate for it politically. Advocate for it so it's, you know, whether it's on a local level of decriminalizing the plant, or whether it's actually saying, I want this plant sold in my state, whether it is medical or whether it's recreational. Be supportive of those things. So that's the political start. Secondly, for us as a woman and a woman of color, what we really have to do is come out of hiding. And sometimes that hurts. You know what I mean? As a mother, I've actually been stigmatized because of the fact that I sell the product, because of the fact that I use the product. I'll never forget going into my pediatrician's office and not really knowing where to turn about my daughter's diagnosis and her health. We had tried everything with all of the therapies and the different oxygen chambers and everything that you could possibly think of. And someone suggested cannabis to us. And Texas at the time had a compassion program, and she qualified. And I walked in, and I was excited, and I told her, pediatrician, we're trying something new. And he said, if you try that, I will no longer be your pediatrician.
Wow.
So we have to come
really?
Out. Yeah. It stung. He was there from the time she was delivered. I mean, he was there. And he's an excellent pediatrician, but his mind could not wrap around something new, something that he had been programmed to believe that was bad for people. But I had to make the decision and come out of the closet and say, as a mother, as a caregiver to someone that's disabled, we have to look at all of our options and make sure that we make the right decisions based off of the patient. And so that's what I did. And I haven't looked back. His practice is thriving, I'm sure. It just has one less patient, which is my daughter, because what's making her better, she's been nonverbal all of her life. All of her life. She's now 10 years old, and she's just now starting to put the sounds together. She's just now being attentive enough to go through speech therapy, because the cannabis actually helped her slow down enough to actually go through the therapy and absorb the sign language, the pecs, all the different things that children and adults that are nonverbal have to go through. She is autistic and she has apraxia. So for me, it's coming out of the closet. So it's political, it's coming out of the closet. The third thing that has to happen is the support. So when you see someone that is going through a situation, educate them, support them, and understanding how to dose. And so that's important to me. That's why I actually go on speaking engagements. I speak at several different conferences because I want them to understand cannabis real estate. I want them to understand dosing, and I want them to understand how it can improve our community by tax dollars, by wellness, and actually it can even improve our community by bringing people together. The most friendly thing about MJB is that you did not meet a stranger. You could go to any part of the conference, you could go to any after party, and people would talk to you, speak to you, be friendly with you, just because
yes.
we had that one thing in common.
Yes,
cannabis.
Absolutely. That's so true. That is absolutely so true. Where do you see the industry, and how, from your perspective, and as a real estate developer, you're a veteran of over thousands of residential and commercial properties built from the ground up, the publisher of Women Pushing Dirt, a periodical that highlights women in real estate, especially women of color, and encourages other women of all races to step into this place. Where do you see the next 5 years in the industry?
Let me just say this. My background
I'm
is
let you, no, no, no. Let me,
a,
I'm sorry. Let me, I'm going to let you answer that because I just realized we're at the break. When we come back from break, we will do that. Thunder Walker is with us today. Women Pushing Dirt. Thunder Walker, CEO and founder. And Thunder, what's the best website?
You can find me at proudmaryholdings.com, which is our green cannabis real estate, and then womenpushingdirt.com, which is an organization where we talk about real estate and construction and cannabis together.
Wonderful. We'll be right back. Cannabis Talk HZ, an educational odyssey with Frankie Boyer. Stay tuned. Welcome back. It is Cannabis Talk HZ, an educational odyssey. You know, it's so great that I got to meet so many fabulous, fabulous people at MJ Biz. And one of them is with us today. Welcome back, Thunder. Thunder Walker. She's an extraordinary woman. Where did you get your drive to get into real estate and cannabis real estate? Where did that all come from?
Actually, it came from my father. I'm a daddy's girl. And he was one of the original African-American black appraisers in Texas. And so he appraised everything. He trained other appraisers in the industry, and his legacy continues on to this day, being able to sell, purchase, and give value to things of commercial or residential properties in the state of Texas. And so that's how I got into real estate. And basically, I wanted a car. Believe it or not, I wanted a car my senior year of high school. And I couldn't get a car without passing the real estate exam because he was like, why do you need a car if you are not doing anything with it? And I was like, okay, I have to pass the real estate exam at 18. And so I went ahead and took all of my college courses and I passed the real estate exam. I became a real estate broker, then after a broker, an appraiser, and then a mortgage broker. And then the real estate industry went nose diving. And so when I decided to get back into the industry, I took what I knew, which was real estate. And then I also was a legacy operator. And I combine those and I start working in cannabis real estate and speaking across the country. I've been to KushCon, Women in Cannabis Expo. I am also the executive director of Cannabis, Women Cannabis Chamber of Commerce in Oklahoma. And so I am dedicated to the craft. I want to see women and people of color succeed in this industry, and I know how to do it. And the way to do it is by following the five steps of being successful and being committed to making sure that you become a brand in this industry. And that's what I have to give back. And so I wanted to make sure that I cement myself in this industry to make sure that other people will come through me to get into the industry, just the same as appraisers and real estate people came through my father to get into the industry. It's the same frontier almost. We are doing things very different, very fast paced. It's double Dutch jumping rope in the cannabis industry. So if you can attach yourself with someone that has been in the market for a long time, you can stay in the market yourself for a long time. You just need to get the knowledge.
Where do you see this all going?
It's going to be legalized. We are going to wrap our heads around it as a community, as a people. I think it's a human right to be able to have wellness, to be able to have options of healing yourself, not necessarily just chemical options, but a natural, holistic option. It should be an option to be able to build your property not only out of wood that's you know, rise and falls all the time, but something that is usable and that lasts a long time. It's all about choice. It's all about choice. And I think that cannabis allows us, and hemp, let me be clear, hemp allows us to have those choices and make better choices in our lives. So over the next 5, 10, 15, 20 years, I feel like the entire universe, the world, each country will make a decision about cannabis. And as they do that, we will keep moving forward. Right now, we have several states that it is legal. We have several states that it has been decriminalized. We are marching forward, and we will not stop. And when I say we, I'm saying everybody that is connected to this plant. We are insisting on the freedom of this plant. Unleash this plant. Let this plant be who she was meant to be. She has so many things and qualities to help the community and help people. There's no reason to hold this plant back.
Your message is a very strong message. As a successful businesswoman, as someone who's been a trailblazer, tell us where Making Trouble came from. Because when I had an opportunity to be on Thunder's podcast, I got a sticker and it said Troublemaker. When did I first start making trouble? And I guess it was when I defiantly decided to do this radio show, Thunder. But what was it about you? I've been a troublemaker, though, most of my life, I have to admit. But I have, full admission, I am a troublemaker. But I also believe in our rights and our freedoms, and that no one needs to mandate or dictate or tell me what I can or cannot do with my own body, with myself. And I think that this plant has gotten a very bad rap, and the stigma is attached to it. And your doctor was not the only doctor. There are many out there that are not understanding that this could be an option for opioid addiction, that this could be a solution.
I totally, totally agree with you. Troublemaker. That has been labeled on a lot of women and a lot of people of color. It's just been a label. And I decided I'm going to wear that label proudly, because there's such a thing as good trouble. And to be honest with you, well-behaved women seldom make history. So when I start to look at the women that have made history, whether it was Harriet Tubman, she went against the law. The law at that time was not to free slaves. Whether it was, there's just so many different women out there in history that has made trouble. And I decided, I said, there's nothing wrong with that, because it's trouble at one point. But
absolutely. Absolutely. Change? Yes. We need troublemakers in this world.
Exactly.
We really do.
That's why I went ahead and named my podcast Troublemakers. It's troublemakersllc.com. And I want everyone to understand that if you are driven to help people, then there's nothing wrong with disrupting what is currently happening. You know, sometimes you have to turn over the tables, you know, you got to turn over the tables in the marketplace so they can be fixed correctly.
This has been such a delicious interview. And I have to tell you, meeting you, your presence, and just who you are, what you stand for, is just extraordinary as well. So how do people find out more about you, look at all of the things that you're doing, all of the venues that you're involved in? What's the best way?
Well, I'm available for public speaking. So let me say that first for all of your events. I love doing that for people. Secondly, you can find me on IG. I am Thunder Walker. It's very simple. I am Thunder Walker. You can contact me there. And my website is proudmaryholdings.com. And the real estate and construction website is womenpushingdirt.com. And you can join right now for free. You can buy the dirt for free. And we'd love to have you. We have so many different articles on there that will inspire you, whether it's travel.
Oh, we've got to run. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Thunder. Best regards to you. It was so wonderful. And we will continue the conversation down the road, I promise. Stay tuned. This is Frankie Boyer, Cannabis Talk, A to Z, and Educational Odyssey. Welcome back. Cannabis Talk, A to Z, and Educational Odyssey. And I love having Michael Olson with us because Michael Olson, so knowledgeable. You are really a true, you're a Renaissance man, Michael, but more importantly, you're a keeper of the farms. And you're trying to get us as Americans to understand the power of farming and the importance of farming.
And the importance of having self-determination, you know, of growing your own or having somebody who grows it for you. Can you imagine how terrifying a world would be if somebody in Bangladesh turns off the food supply system that supplies us food from thousands of miles away? They do something. They turn the switch off. And what are we going to eat? We have nothing to eat. And so that's
exactly
why we need to figure out how to produce food locally. Not all of it, but we need to come to grips with the fact that we need to learn how to take care of ourselves, because they don't care about us. Unless they can make money, they have absolutely no concern about us at all. Only we care for each other. And we can do that by taking the 2x2 pledge, simple as that. 2x2. You can search that and you'll find it. All it means is that I agree to buy $2 worth of local food every day and talk to other people into buying $2 worth of food every day. Now, if you stretch those numbers out, you'll see that in a very short period of time, we could be growing our own food and generating our own income, and we could be free, and we could be independent, and we would have a financial economy that would sustain us, all on $2 a day. If everybody were to do it,
so wonderful,
how many
Michael.
People in your town? My goodness, that would make a huge income for farmers.
Huge income. We have to support our local farmers, and we have to support our local hemp farmers as well. And talk to us about.
Agreed.
We only could see hemp being grown at the beginning of this conversation years ago in Kentucky, and they took some of the tobacco fields and made them into hemp. But hemp is wild. If you go to where the USS Constitution is, right here in my backyard in Charlestown, there's wild hemp growing everywhere in the field near there.
Yeah. Well, you know that as recently as World War II, it was against the law not to grow hemp. We needed the hemp.
Oh, I didn't know that.
For the war.
Yeah.
And when it gets right down to it, we still need the hemp because it's an excellent source of fiber, plant fiber. And so why can't we just grow it? Well, because many years ago, 1937, before World War II, when we ran out of prohibition, just think of it. When the United States ceased prohibition, what was it left with? An army of prohibitors with nothing to do. What are we going to do with all of these people who have been trained to prohibit liquor and alcohol? Well, we'll just retrain them to prohibit cannabis. They called it marijuana, right? The devil's weed. So we defused our interest in growing hemp, and we focused it on growing cannabis. And because we did that, we took what was grown for dollars per acre and made it into a crop that was selling for thousands of dollars a pound.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah.
And so it's really crazy. Now, I wanted to do really quickly the great hemp loophole. Now, as we mentioned, hemp is now legal by virtue of the 2018 Farm Bill. Hemp consists of those plants that have less than 3% tetrahydrocannabinol, THC, by volume, dry weight. So let's say you have a flower that has, 18% THC. That's a lot. But if you have a, what if you have an 18-foot tall hemp plant that has only 3%? Okay. Well, what if you take that 18-foot tall hemp plant into the laboratory and cook it down so that you're left with those essential terpenes, some of which are THC and some of which are all kinds of other cannabinoids. So what you're doing is you're distilling that 18-foot tall plant down to its essential terpenes, which become very, very potent, right? But because you're consolidating, you're concentrating them down and down and down and down and down. And so that 3% plant all of a sudden has become much more potent in THC than even the flowers that were grown for the THC. Now, what are they doing with those terpenes? Well, they're putting them into glass pipes and selling them all across the country in convenience stores as hemp products. So all of a sudden, those class one narcotic cannabis is being sold legally as a hemp product all over the country for people who smoke their little glass pipes.
So,
and
Michael,
that's the great cannabis loophole, the hemp loophole.
Yes. So we are now at a crossroads, I believe, that we still need so much education. We still need to teach people about this plant. We still don't quite understand the farming piece of this plant. And so we're at this place where, if you could just share with us, where do you see this all unfolding and how?
Well, gosh, that's a very interesting question. Where do you see it unfolding? Well, I'll tell you what, I would not buy stock in a cannabis industry right now. Simply, you know, when cannabis was first legalized, the cannabis industry was infused by zillions of dollars in investor money. But what panned out was that it's so easy to grow the plant that the market is still flooded with product. So the margin you need, I mean, if you can grow a plant for four and sell it for $4,000 for a single plant, that makes it worthwhile to grow. But if that same plant has to be sold for $20 in a market that's flooded with this stuff, it doesn't make any sense financially. So you see where I'm going? It just doesn't make sense right now to invest in the cannabis industry until such time as they figure out how to gain total control of the industry. Well, how do you do that?
How do you even begin to do that? And I don't think it will happen federally for a very long time. I think it still needs to continue to happen locally in each state.
Probably the only way you can really deal with it when it gets right down to it is locally. And it's up to people, you know, to decide what they want. I, for one, would love to have some real good experimentation into the medical properties of cannabis. I would love to see those double-blind studies made. I would love to see factories turning out hemp clothing. I would love
to see that. Oh, so would I. I'd love to see that. Yes, yes.
I would love to see the rational use of cannabis.
Now, and let's not forget.
Are we going to? Let's see not that forget. Anytime soon?
No, no. But no. But it's a nice thought to think about sleeping on hemp sheets. And I have a towel that I got years ago. I can't wear this towel out. It's a hemp towel made with hemp. It doesn't wear out, Michael. It's still as soft and beautiful
maybe,
as the.
Maybe that's why it's illegal. is because it's so good, it puts everything else out of business.
Maybe. Yeah. Wow. This was wonderful. Always such a pleasure, Michael Olson. Give everybody how they can reach you, please.
Yeah, I'm at metrofarm.com, which is the name of my book about making a lot of money on small parcels of land by growing things that everybody wants and therefore is willing to pay you money for them.
That's right. Thank you, Michael. We'll take a quick break and be back in a moment. Cannabis Talk, A to Z, and Educational Odyssey with Frankie Boyer. Welcome back. It is Frankie Boyer, Cannabis Talk A to Z, an Educational Odyssey. And we welcome back, and Elliot, I don't think we ever spoke, though. Have we?
No, we haven't. Nice to meet you, Frankie.
Oh, Elliot, it's such a pleasure. People love you. Elliot Aaron is known for his kind heart with helping others in need. And Elliot has worked closely with over 350 nonprofits and helped raise over $4 million for their causes. Elliot uses the power of art to harness the power of giving, and a portion of his art sales will always go to select charities. And how did you even get involved in the cannabis business? Tell us a little bit about the art and the cigars and how it all came together. Well, and now cannabis.
A whole mix of everything.
Yes.
I'll go back to 2007 when I was actually getting divorced, and I'm an artist and I always painted. And after getting divorced, you know, your world is rocked. So I wanted to create a program for painting. And I saw a live performance artist back in the 90s do live painting with rock and roll music. It kept in my mind. So in 2007, I put together a painting program called Art Beat Live, which is performance painting. And then I wanted to also gear it towards helping raise money for nonprofit. So I'm from the Chicago area at the time. And since 2007, I've become known as, you know, a man with a kind heart, and using the power of art with, you know, a power of giving back. So I perform live art at charity events, corporate events, sporting events. I've done a lot, you know, since 2007.
Sure.
Then we fast forward all the way to 2019, and I move all the way up to Wisconsin, still painting and everything. I'm a cigar lover, been smoking cigars since I was young. I moved to a really small town, a very tourist town, Eagle River, Wisconsin. And there are no cigars. So I opened up a cigar shop within my art studio and gallery, hit a niche. And then in 2020, a woman came into my shop who was a sales rep for a CBD company. And she introduced me to CBD. I fell in love with it, started taking it, and started researching the benefits. And to be honest, you know, I smoked marijuana when I was young, you know, still did. But I really love the power of what CBD can do for you. And then in this year, in beginning of this year, in January and February, being an entrepreneur, I'm like, you know what? I want to create a product that is all Wisconsin and at honest, fair prices, and educate the people on what CBD can do for them.
So, Elliot, this is so exciting to talk with you. And now CBD is part of your life?
Yeah, I'm a firm believer in CBD. You know, being a business owner, when COVID happened, you know, 20, I'm a entertainer. You know, I would perform my shows in my heyday. I'd do like 130 performances with my art. And when COVID hit, like all the gig people, you know, the gig economy, you know, we lost it all. And I was stressed beyond belief. You know, something I built up since 2007, just I lost it, you know, just like a lot of people. So when the woman came in and introduced me to CBD, I started taking full spectrum, you know, with the benefits of stress and anxiety. And I tell you, and I'm a firm believer in it because I take four full spectrum of my gummies every day. But when I first started taking the CBD with my stress, and I noticed within 7 to 10 days, my mind just started balancing, and it kind of clicked, and I felt less stress. Yeah, you don't go from 0 to 10 right away with your stress level. Now I may go from 0 to 4, you know, but I'm a believer in it, totally.
And tell us a little bit, if you wouldn't mind, of why you're so passionate about it. Because I think that we judge CBD. We don't understand CBD. We take the wrong kinds of CBD. We don't take full spectrum. We don't understand. And I work so hard, Elliot, trying to educate people about the benefits of CBD. But it's not easy.
No, not at all. I think taking the full spectrum is phenomenal. But I think what education is missing, I live in a small town now, and it's a very tourist town. So people came in the summer a lot, and I was educating them. And I had a lot of clients come in and go, I tried CBD. It doesn't work. I go, well, where'd you get it at? And did they tell you how to take it? No, I took it on Monday. Then I took it on Saturday. I didn't feel anything.
Right.
I go, no.
Right.
That's
yes, exactly. You know, exactly.
I've had friends on opioids, you know, and yeah, it works instantly. You know, CBD, no, your body, they have receptors and they take it in, you know, naturally, and you got to take it every single day. It's almost, you know, morning, noon, night, whatever you want to do, but just take it every day. I have a 25 milligram gummy, you know, that I produce. I think that's kind of the minimum that you should do. You know, even if it's just 25 milligrams a day, I go, just take it every day for 7 to 10 days. You'll click. You're going to see your body totally change. Now, everybody's different. They may need more. They may need less, you know, but that's what it is. Consistent, and nobody educates, really.
It's just so critical, absolutely, to take it the right way. And consistency is the key, absolutely. Absolutely, Elliot. It is the consistency. Now, tell me where the art is.
My art? So.
Yeah, where are you with the art?
In terms of performing and everything?
Yes, are you back out performing again?
Yeah, I'm actually driving right now to Nashville because I have a performance tomorrow for a corporation. And then on Thursday, I'll actually be at the Titan Stadium performing for a nonprofit.
Nice.
So I'm on the road right now, Trevor. Yeah.
Good for you. Good for you, Elliot Aaron. You're making a difference in this world. So appreciate your stopping by Cannabis Talk A to Z, an educational odyssey with us. So appreciate it. Give us a website.
So it's takecbdtoday.com. And that's what I believe in, taking CBD every single day.
Wonderful. Today. Thank you so much, Elliot, and thank all of you. Another edition of the Cannabis Show, A to Z, an educational odyssey with Frankie Boyer. Make it a great day, everyone, and smile!
Every trace of sadness overwhelms maybe ever so near. And if you smile through your fears and sorrow, smile. And maybe tomorrow you'll see that life is still worthwhile. If you tomorrow.